Join the Wall Street Journal online October 12th for WSJ Pro Sustainable Business Forum and take away practical advice on how to build a sustainability strategy that's right for your business. From now until September 21st, you can save 25% on your ticket by registering at wsj.com/sustainablebusiness. No code required. That's wsj.com/sustainablebusiness.
Here's your money briefing for Friday, August 25th. I'm Ariana Asperu from The Wall Street Journal, filling in for J.R. Whalen. The after-school 3 p.m. pickup isn't the end of the day for many students. Now, more parents are opening up their schedules and their checkbooks for extracurriculars.
The end goal is, of course, to expose kids to new activities, get them to come out of their shell, and even get them to dive into something that they're interested in. But the majority of parents who do put their kids in these extracurriculars do hope for some kind of return of investment.
We'll speak to Wall Street Journal personal finance reporter Oyin Adedoyin after the break.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. That's what I hear when I make another sale on Shopify, the all-in-one commerce platform that allows you to start, run, and grow your business. Shopify is revolutionizing millions of businesses worldwide. So sign up for a £1 per month trial period at shopify.co.uk/podcast23, all lowercase, and take your business to the next level today.
With back-to-school season in full swing, parents are spending big on music lessons, sports, and other after-school activities. Oyin Adedoyin from the Wall Street Journal's personal finance team joins us. So, Oyin, growing up, lots of us played a sport or took some piano classes after school, even going into high school. And extracurriculars have always played a role in things like college admissions. So why are they becoming more important now?
It's a combination of things. For one, standardized test scores like the SATs and the ACTs are carrying a lot less weight in the college application process now. And college admissions consultants are saying that the Supreme Court's June decision to outlaw affirmative action may put even more pressure on non-academic activities, like those extracurriculars you were talking about, including skills and sports. Even after-school programs that are usually more affordable have also been having trouble even keeping up with the demand in recent years, and that's leaving a lot of kids out.
How much are families spending on them?
According to a recent survey from LendingTree, families are spending upwards of $700 per kid on extracurriculars a year. But that's even on the low end for some families that are employing private coaches or even shelling out for lessons and competitive travel teams as well.
So $700 per child per year is on the lower end.
Yeah.
And if you have multiple kids,
it can get even more expensive, even, you know, well into the thousands.
Thousands per year. Wow. So what types of activities are seeing this increase in spending?
Competitive sports like cheerleading, fencing, and even golf and soccer are seeing increases in the number of kids that are involved, and those kids are starting at younger ages. We're also seeing this in the arts. Parents are paying more money for private art coaches or guitar lessons, and this is something that increased a lot following the pandemic.
And it seems like it's limited based on what time and money a family can set aside for this, right?
Financial advisors told me that while this is something we've always seen in more affluent families, other families that are more middle or low income are blowing their budgets on this, and they're even going into debt. In a recent study of about 6 million college applications from researchers at the University of Maryland, it showed that wealthier students and private school students, as well as white and Asian American students, reported more extracurricular activities and more awards, as well as more top leadership positions in those activities. So that shows that these are students that have been well involved in things over time.
What are some of the benefits that parents are hoping for here?
The end goal is, of course, to expose kids to new activities, get them to come out of their shell, and even get them to dive into something that they're interested in. But the majority of parents who do put their kids in these extracurriculars do hope for some kind of return of investment, whether that means their kid gets a elite college scholarship or they get some kind of career opportunity out of this.
Return on investment on your kid. That's a funny
exactly.
way to put it.
Yep, the ROI.
So you spoke to financial planners and some parents who are actively doing this. What did they recommend for how people can predict and sort of get ahead of these costs?
Well, they said to expect costs to rise every year, no matter what the activity is. And that's definitely what we're seeing in the data. But they also recommended that parents be proactive. One financial advisor sets aside $300 every month for her kids' extracurriculars. And if that money isn't all the way used one month, then it rolls over into the next month. Financial advisors also recommended getting things secondhand from parents who have already had their kids go through a sport or activity. But this isn't the end all be all. At the end of the day, it's an extra expense, and some parents don't believe that it's necessary. Sarah Arrows, one of the parents that I spoke with for this story, told me that she never wanted her daughter to feel overwhelmed with extracurricular activities because she knows that children can have a perfectly great life if they don't do anything extra.
Did you do an extracurricular? What was your extracurricular choice?
My extracurricular activity was cheerleading.
Okay.
And funny enough, I had to stop a couple years in because I wanted to get a part-time job. So it's definitely one of those things that in high school, you know, the kids that have been doing this for years and they have certain skills, and it's definitely an extra cost if you want to get more advanced in that thing.
That was Wall Street Journal personal finance reporter Oyin Adedoyin. And that's it for Your Money Briefing. I'm your host, Ariana Asparu. Our supervising producer is Melanie Roy. Aisha Al-Muslim is our development producer. Scott Salloway and Chris Zinsley are our deputy editors. And Philana Patterson is the Wall Street Journal's head of news audio. We'll be back with a new show on Monday morning. Thanks for listening.